To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Welcome to our Science Fiction Podcast. I am your writer and reader, and I am telling you the tales of Alibi Jones, the adventures of Alibi Jones. Alibi's on the run in a small self-propelled shipping container hurtling through space. He's almost made it to the planet Depot, but he can't land in the shipping container. It's just emergency transport. He needs a ship to pick him up. The shipping container should register as government property. It belongs to the Solar Alliance's scientific arm, the Project. So Alibi has the shipping container heading for a big Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force vessel. There's only one problem. Instead of making a move to pick up his wayward container, the warship has trained its guns on him and is apparently readying to blow Alibi Jones out of the sky. So this could be a very short chapter. Alibi Jones in the crosshairs. Find out what happens next, coming up in Chapter 28 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. That's our story so far, and now you know all you need to enjoy the chapter ahead. Before we get into the chapter, a little bit of news. How was your week? Mine was kind of from hell. Man, I spent last weekend writing a long piece on Jack Parsons that I posted on Medium on Saturday, told you about it on this podcast, shared it a couple times, but it didn't look like anyone had read it by Tuesday morning. So I was kind of bumming out. And also, I haven't really heard from anybody about my latest Alibi Jones short story there in episode 500, Alibi Jones Christmas Present. Yeah, nobody's really gotten back to me on it. So it makes me think the story might have sucked, you know, so I worry. Plus, I've started a Patreon and there's only one person on there, so kind of got into a dark place on Tuesday morning. I posted about it on Facebook. I mean, it's not a real existential crisis unless you share it, huh? But I'll tell you, a lot of friends chimed in with encouragement and support and really lifted my spirits, so that was awesome. And thank you. And I took down that first post almost immediately, you know, only up for about an hour. Then I posted again with thanks and that the pity party was over, you know. It did help me pull out of that funk I was in, so that was good. But then, eating lunch on Wednesday, I broke my small front tooth. It's always been tiny. It's a peg lateral, they call it, right next to the very front teeth. Well, now it's gone. And the roots are coming out on Tuesday. I've got to go for oral surgery. And the dentist says my other teeth aren't great. I've kind of neglected them, and because I drink a lot of coffee with sugar in it, I guess they've really gotten into bad shape, so I think it's a side effect of the depression I've kind of been dealing with, you know, over the course of the last year. And I feel like I'm coming out of it now, you know, certainly. But yeah, you know, there are physical effects. I guess I just didn't care enough, but now I do. I don't want to lose more teeth. But I do love sweets, and I like my sugar in my coffee, but no sugar tonight. Sorry, but yeah. No sugar in my coffee. Ugh. It's been a rough week, like I say. I'm glad those two things didn't happen on the same day, though. Like the tooth breaking while I was down, you know? So I guess news is I'm still here. There is another episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Tuesday morning, I wasn't sure I should keep doing anything. But I haven't given up yet. I do need your feedback, though. Reach out. There's glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. You can look me up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Facebook and Twitter after their .com/. It's just Mike Luoma. MikeLuoma. And on Instagram, it's Glow in the Dark Radio. Let me know. What did you think of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present? Episode 500. How often do you listen to the show? You ever buy books? Audiobooks, ebooks, paperbacks, comics? What do you like? What do you want more of? Let me know if this stuff is worth anything to you. I'm just curious. Like I said, it's been a hard week, so I'm looking for feedback. It's actually been a rough year. No lie. But I'm battling back. And I never succumb completely. It's just, man, hard to keep fighting sometimes. And apparently it took the biggest toll, the fight, on my teeth. So I've got to shape up. Once I realized it could affect my speech, I kind of freaked out. But I think I still sound okay. You know, let me know. By the way, there is a new audiobook. There is some real news. Let me share some real news. The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 Short Stories is out, the audiobook. Finally out. As an audiobook, now available this week at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, Apple Books. It's got Father's Day, Blind Eye, In Over His Head, Vacation, The Wishing Stone, and of course, the new one, Alibi Jones Christmas Present. Blind Eye and In Over His Head were both readapted, rewritten, and re-recorded. So those are kind of new versions of those. Father's Day, it's a new recording from the original adaptation. Written and narrated by yours truly. If you could show your support and show me you want more, that'd be great. Pick it up. Alibi Jones. 6 Short Stories. Audiobook, paperback, ebook. If you're a patron of Patreon, you can even get a cheaper version that has a cool exclusive cover. I do make that worth your while. Find out more at glowinthedarkradio.com. Speaking of Patreon, please consider supporting this podcast at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. That's enough news, I think. We'll get into Chapter 28 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now here's Chapter 28 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi jumped across to the container's controls to see if the crate's shipping beacon was turned on. It wasn't. They must have turned off the beacon when they set him adrift. He hadn't noticed. He turned it back on and hoped for the best. Wait, got something, the voice on the open comm said. Hold your fire. That's a project object, according to its beacon. Hit it with a holding beam. Alibi lurched forward as the shipping container came to a sudden stop.
Huh. Should I tell them I'm in here? Nah, shouldn't be necessary. They should turn me over to the project. Would rather deal with project people at this point.
He watched as the Stinger ship used the holding beam to swing his container back towards the aft end of the vessel. Two of the Stinger's crew then came out and moved the container into the ship's hold. As Alibi watched from inside his container, the ship's captain and first officer came to the hold to personally inspect their new find. He couldn't hear them. Either the external mics were dead or couldn't pick up their conversation. They didn't waste much time assessing the container, giving it a quick visual once over. Then they left Alibi in the dark. Before too long, the lights came back on,
and a safe ground crew from Depot entered the hold. They attached grav handles and floated the container off the Stinger ship. Alibi watched from the container's interior as they floated his crate across Depot's port and into a project holding area. They lowered the container back to the ground.
Gotta get out of here.
Alibi didn't wait. He opened the secret door and slid out of the container. He sealed the door shut, seamless, behind him. A couple of people from the ground crew were still nearby. Alibi kept the container between them as he looked around the holding area for the way out.
The delivery guys just reported it missing, Alibi overheard one of the ground crew report, after it had been recovered. And the project crew already came by here once to try to pick it up. Kind of suspicious if you ask me. Who's asking you? Another joked.
Alibi left them to their witty repartee and crept out of the holding area. He emerged into a part of the spaceport he knew, but not well, still inside the safe facility.
I'll feel better when I get out into the public spaces, although it is good to know my people are here somewhere. Bet they're the project crew.
Looking down, he decided to do as his dress suggested and began jogging. He made his way through the safe facility and out into the main port, nodding at anyone who made eye contact, but not stopping.
Just out for a jog. Don't mind me.
Alibi needed to find out where his cruiser was berthed and get in touch with his crew. He jogged down the concourse into Depot's port's main passenger terminal. The bright lights and flashy signs were designed to attract travelers very different from Alibi. He found it easy to resist their beckoning as he walked past, on his way to a more civilized place, the pilot's lounge. The pilot's lounge on Depot was a three-story entertainment complex, three floors of bars and restaurants, with cheap sleep cubicles on a fourth floor above, available at an hourly rate. Alibi preferred a dive bar called The Other Place, tucked away in the back of the second floor where people could read, write, do whatever, and be left alone. He headed there. Cat knew it was a good place to look for him, and Alibi could look up where the cruiser was berthed while he waited. Alibi walked in and looked around the bar. Some sort of familiar faces, but no one that stood out for good or bad. No Cat or Emily or even Brisby. He headed over to the bar and sat down in an empty chair. "Could I get a Depot downdraft?" Alibi ordered. The bartender placed a pint in front of him. Alibi sipped a little off the top so he wouldn't spill, then lifted the pint for a real drink. When he put the glass down, a man stood next to him who hadn't been there a moment before. Unlike the others in the bar, he had a somewhat familiar-looking face.
"Alibi Jones?"
"Depends on who's asking," Alibi said. "Name's Hector. Hector Ruiz," he said, extending his hand. Alibi shook it, wary. "Owner and captain of the Libra Campista." "Yeah, I'm Alibi Jones," Alibi said. "Nice to meet you," Hector said. "You're kind of famous." "Some would say infamous," Alibi said. He racked his brain, trying to remember where he knew the man from. He'd seen him somewhere before. "Pleasure to meet you." "Yeah, heard you practically got run out of the Solar Alliance," Hector said. "Now trying to make it out here on the Depot Fringe, huh?"
"Something like that," Alibi said.
"Running cargo and stuff."
"Well, it's not my pleasure, but I'm working for Bill Gentry," Hector said. "Paying off a debt. The man has peculiar late fees. Calls in favors. Has people like me do things like this."
Alibi nodded, but remained silent.
"And what this is, you see, is that he sent me to help you set up your dues schedule," Hector said, explaining.
"Gentry said he spoke with you before?"
"He did," Alibi said. "I've been wondering when I'd hear from him next."
"Ta-da," Hector said. He spread his arms comically. Alibi gave him a deadpan stare back. Hector rummaged in a pocket in his jumpsuit and pulled out a secure crystal. "It's all on there. Where to send your payments, when, what percentage you owe on what goods. Give it to your business manager, but make sure she knows it's not for public consumption, eh?"
"Got it," Alibi said, as he accepted the crystal from Hector.
A flash of recognition hit Alibi as he touched the crystal.
"He's the guy who first saw the ghost ship. Now I remember." But I can't let him know that I know he reported it to the Solar Alliance. That's not public knowledge.
Do I? Have we met before? Hector asked. You look more familiar than I thought you would. Don't think so, Alibi said. But it's funny, I thought the same thing when I saw you. Maybe we've bumped into each other before. Maybe. Didn't know for sure if I'd find you here, Hector said. Saw your ship was due in, but wasn't sure if you'd landed yet. I'm coming back from a side trip, Alibi said. Wasn't with the ship. Meeting them here. Gotcha, Hector said. Do you have time for a beer? Alibi asked him. Hector looked at him, puzzled. He nodded at the crystal. I just gave you that, and you want to buy me a beer? Why not? Alibi said. It's not you asking me for money. Not everybody gets that, Hector said. Thanks. I think I will. He waved over at a heavy-set big guy by the door. The man nodded back and visibly relaxed. Hector sat down on a stool next to Alibi as Alibi called the bartender over. The bartender took Hector's order. Alibi added it to his and then settled up his tab. How long have you been working out here? Alibi asked. Almost 11 years now, Hector said. Just you? Alibi asked. Nah, Hector said. Got 2 ships with full crews. Nice little operation. Mind if I ask why you're working for Gentry? You can ask, Hector said. He gave Alibi a look that said he wasn't about to answer. But then he smiled. I'm kidding. It's like I said, just repaying a small debt doing this stuff. Missed a meeting and a payment. So Gentry has me reminding other people about their meetings and payments for about a month, in addition to my regular business. Almost done. Another week to go. Sounds like Gentry has an interesting sense of humor, Alibi said. Sense of humor? Hector asked. Don't know if it's humor. I don't feel like laughing, you know? Gotcha, Alibi said. He didn't know why, but he kind of liked this Hector. Seemed like an honest man. So bottom line, it's best not to miss a meeting with Gentry. You got it, Hector said. Why did you miss your meeting? Alibi asked.
Maybe I can get him to talk about the Rode ship.
That I'm not going to tell you, Hector said, shaking his head. You wouldn't believe me anyway. Alibi arched an eyebrow. Oh, really? Let's just say, there are some pretty strange things out here on the fringe, Hector said. And we ran into one of them. Made us late for our appointment. Sounds mysterious, Alibi said. It was something, all right, Hector said. Alibi? A woman's voice called out his name. Alibi looked for the source and saw Emily and Cat walking his way through the bar. He waved. Emily smiled at him. He grinned back.
Could get to like her in this timeline, too.
Your crew? Hector asked, grabbing his attention back. Alibi nodded. Hector drained the rest of his beer. I'll let you be, then. Good to meet you, Alibi Jones. He extended his right hand. Alibi shook it. Hector turned to leave, brushing past Emily and Cat on his way. Who is that? Emily asked. Another shipowner, Alibi said. Name's Hector Ruiz. Alibi held up the crystal. He delivered this, a gift, from Billy Gentry. It's our tribute instructions.
Tribute? Cat asked.
Gotta pay to play out here on the depot fringe, Alibi explained. And Bill Gentry is evidently the one collecting the dues out here. Knew this was coming, just didn't know when or how. Alibi handed the crystal to Emily. Take it back with you to the ship, see what he's asking for. Then let me know what you need, Alibi said. Why me? She asked. Part of doing business out here, he said. And you're our business manager. Thanks, she said, her tone loaded with sarcasm. Alibi stood up from his bar stool. Let's go, he said. Been a while since I've seen the cruiser. Longer since I've seen the base.
It is still there, Cat said.
Alibi laughed.
What?
Cat said, confused by Alibi's reaction.
Pure comedy, Alibi said, mimicking the way Cat had been saying the term.
You made a funny, Cat.
I do not understand your comedy, Cat said.
Not to worry, Cat, Alibi said. I don't always understand it either. Emily chuckled. Cat seemed confused. Don't worry about it, Cat, Alibi said. Come on. He led the other two out of the bar.
Much better, Alibi said, as he settled into his captain's seat. Home again, jiggity jig, as Aunt Anita likes to say.
Home? Emily asked. She strapped herself into the seat on the bridge behind Cat in the co-pilot's chair, on Alibi's right. This ship, the cruiser, and this bridge feel more like home than any of my apartments. Any place I stay for short periods, Alibi said. Even my aunt's place on Ceres, where I grew up. That's her place, you know. My place on Cat's Eye is rented out to some stranger. I've only been out at the Hornet's Nest a few months, so this ship is the closest thing I have to a home. I've missed it. That sounds kind of sad, Emily said. Sorry?
My home is on her, Cat said, and I miss it dearly.
Sorry, Cat, Alibi said. My home is the Force, Emily said, and truth be told, working undercover, this covert ops stuff, feels a little like being away from that home, even though we're still in the safe.
You and Alibi are, Cat said. I am not in the safe, but an ally.
Yes, you are, Alibi said. You're both Alibi's allies. That's silly, Emily said. Good, Alibi said. Thought we were all getting a little silly here. Silly is good. Alibi called up the cruiser's controls and began powering up the ship. Cat, start the preflight, Alibi said. Let's head home. Once they'd cleared transpace and switched back to conventional engines, Alibi called up Krish as they flew back to the Hornet's Nest. He wanted to know how his disappearance from the hospital had gone over.
At first they were crazed, Krish said. Panicked. I tried to calm them down. Told them you had checked yourself out. And I had no idea where you'd gone. They started to call you a fugitive, until I asked if that meant you had been a prisoner. Then I apologized for not realizing that had been your status, silly old man that I am, in answer to which I was assured you were not a prisoner. Then how can he be a fugitive, I asked them. Why couldn't he check himself out?
And, Alibi prodded.
Medical observation, Krish said. Alien tech. Good of humanity, stuff like that. Nothing very coherent. I pulled rank and dismissed their arguments. As the senior project scientist on this case, I said that I believe we've had more than enough time to study the poor man here in a hospital, and we've learned nothing. Better to put him back in the field, see if the stimulus there makes a difference. Something like that.
And they accepted that, Alibi asked. Somehow, I don't see Van and Curry agreeing to...
To a degree, Krish said, interrupting. You are not considered a fugitive.
But...
You are to be kept under regular observation, Krish said. In the field.
What? Alibi asked.
No fucking way am I going to be under constant watch.
How? Who? Wait, Krish, what the hell?
So many questions, Krish said. Please, let me finish.
Sorry, Krish, Alibi said. Go ahead.
As a condition of backing off of fugitive, Dr. Van demanded a project doctor be assigned to your crew, Krish said. I think he saw himself out at your Hornet's Nest, Alibi.
Fat chance.
Well, anyway, I agreed, Krish said.
What? Alibi was furious in an instant. How could you...
It had to be done to keep you free, Alibi, Krish said. Besides... I went above Van's head and made other arrangements. His demands were met, but not as he thought they would be.
Alibi calmed down, a little.
What do you mean? Alibi asked.
Well, I did some research, Krish said. I see your base has many rooms and apartments.
It does, Alibi said, and we don't use many of them.
I would not think that you would, Krish said. But you will be needing to fix one up for this old fool, who volunteered to be your new observer.
What? Krish? You? Alibi said, shocked. What about your temporal research lab? How can you come out to the Hornet's Nest?
Dr. Shinose will take care of what's left of the temporal lab, as she has been, Alibi, Krish said. They trimmed our budget to the bone. We don't even have funding for new research and experiments at this time, Alibi. They pay our salaries and keep the buildings running, but that's about all, sad to say. But she'll do fine. The lab will be fine. And very clean.
Alibi digested the news.
Krish? Out here? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean... Yeah, sorry about the budget thing, too, Krish, Alibi said. Just thinking this through. You're going to join us out at our base? Do we need to come pick you up?
Yes, Krish said. And no, I will be joining you, but I will not be needing you to come pick me up. I have made my own arrangements, you see.
I see.
Project ship, Krish said. For me and my things.
Things? Alibi asked.
I will need some lab space, Krish said, matter of fact, in addition to apartments. I'm coming with some baggage, you see.
Baggage.
Oh, yeah, I see, Alibi said.
Love the guy, but not sure I want him around all the time. Of course, if he has a lab, that might mean he won't want to come with us out in the cruiser too much. Maybe? If the project and the SA have decided I need to be observed, could do a lot worse than Krish.
When should we expect you? Alibi asked.
Let's see, Krish said. I need to wrap things up here first. 3 weeks? Something like that. Hate to guess. I will let you know when I'm more certain of my timetable.
Okay then, I guess, Alibi said. Keep me informed, Krish.
Not immediately. That makes me feel better for some reason. Gotta get used to the idea.
No, that's fine, thanks. Just wanted to check in, been traveling, Alibi said, as he signed off the comm. He tried calling again as soon as they'd gotten back to base. As the worried nephew, he could make a call into safe command without blowing his cover. Just another citizen asking about his loved one. Not a member of safe covert ops, nope.
Hell, I could call Nico fucking Constantine himself in this case.
In truth, he tried not to worry. But his aunt still hadn't returned to Ceres. The safe now had her listed officially as potentially missing. Anita Capituna could take care of herself, if anyone could. But it wasn't like her not to check in. Alibi sighed and looked around his base office, trying to think of what he could do next.
Feel kind of helpless. This sucks.
Cannot tell you how surprised I was to hear it was you, Alibi Jones, calling me, the smirking man said, looking at Alibi over the comm.
Why? Thought your people left me lost in space?
I'm glad you accepted my call, Mr., Prime Representative, Alibi said. Wasn't sure you would.
Call me Nico, Constantine said. Can I call you Alibi?
Sure, Alibi said. Nico?
That was Chapter 28 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi Jones is a free man. Well, kinda. And the Prime Rep took his call. Nico Constantine. He has the position Alibi's Aunt Anita once did, Prime Representative of the Solar Alliance. The Solar Alliance has a representative democracy with a large parliamentary-style body. And it's led by an elected Prime Rep, kind of like a Prime Minister in the UK system, you know? Also, we got to see Hector again. Alibi got to meet Hector Ruiz, which was fun to write. I remember writing that and going, yeah, let's bring them together. I had a meet at the OP, too. I name-checked my old watering hole. The other place, in Burlington, Vermont. That was my bar for the longest time in Burlington. I stopped drinking mostly last year, so I don't go out like I used to. So I guess I don't have a bar anymore. But that was the place, the other place, the OP. And I made it into the book here. But back to Nico. Maybe the Prime Rep can help Alibi find out where his Aunt Anita is, but we have seen he's not that fond of Alibi. He's not been kind to Alibi Jones. But the conversation has gotten underway. It started, they're talking, and we'll see how it goes and where it goes next in our next episode in Chapter 29 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. The real news this week, there is a new audiobook. The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, with half of the book, 3 of those stories being new, newly rewritten, readapted versions of Blind Eye and In Over His Head, a new recording of Father's Day, and the completely new story, Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, that appeared on episode 500 of this podcast. They are all gathered together in the new audiobook and the new book that's out. Just out as an audiobook this week. Paperback and ebook have been out, but now you can get it however you consume your fiction. That's The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, and you can find out more by just going to glowinthedarkradio.com. That's all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.